Night, Manhattan Meat Market on Seth Child Road and online at mhkmeats.com.
We're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, talking with Dr. Timothy Schaefer, Assistant Professor of Communication Studies and Assistant Director of the KSU Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy. And we're going to sort of transition here. Recently, graduation just happened, and I saw some photos on your Facebook. You took part in that. And tell me a little bit about the experience there. What's that like to see some of your students be able to, you know, move on?
I enjoy it. It's, you know, as someone who has gone through the process of higher education and ending up kind of on the other end, right? I'll put it this way. I, as a faculty member now, and as someone who's been here long enough that the folks who are graduating are a lot of students that I've had in classes and have interacted in various ways with them and, you know, in hallways and other places like that, just kind of informally. It's nice to be able to be part of that because you're part of their story. This graduating class, for example, there were a number of them who I got to know, you know, as well as you do as a professor with a student in a class. But it's always nice. And there's something kind of collective about it that you start to see the impact and benefit of what's going on and celebrate in those moments. And also I like to wear my robes, right? So I got to pull those things out when I get a chance.
Now, do you? I'm not sure where you got your doctorate. Do you get the octagon cap, or do you get the square?
Yeah. When you get a PhD, you get the eight-sided guy.
Okay.
So you're very fancy and very flowy robes and
more hoods.
Yeah. Well, kind of. You also get the three bars on your arm. So if you've ever been to commencements or high school, those will be rather plain. High school and undergraduate are pretty plain, and then masters get this little bit of, I'm not going to use the right term here, but a little, I'll call it flair, kind of on their sleeve. And then when you get a PhD, you get these bars on your arm and you get this extra kind of fashionable hood. So it's a nice experience. And I think, you know, the one lament that I do have is that just given the way that K-State does their commencement celebration, the exercises, it breaks it up by college. So you're only in your college interacting with those folks. And some of the things that I teach, I have students from across the university. So I end up having a lot of students from the College of Agriculture and other places. And I don't know, I'd like to be able to bump into them and see them in the hallways and things like that. And I just don't get to, which is, you know, just the reality of how they do the flow of it. But it's a nice celebration, and it's always that moment when the end of the academic year kind of comes to a close, and for the most part, it's a pretty celebratory moment, right? There are a few students who still have to take a summer class or two or something to truly finish up. But, you know, in that instance when, you know, I think about my own experience when I completed my undergraduate and I had a whole bunch of family come and sit through a very long commencement celebration. You appreciate those. You know, it's a milestone of life for a lot of folks.
And I'll tell you, I went to Cal State Long Beach. Our graduation was also broken up by college in that same way. But to put that in perspective, every year we graduate probably about the fifth the size of the city of Manhattan. Okay. We graduate 10,000 students every year at Cal State Long Beach. We're a population of like 40,000 students there. And it's sprawling. It's unbelievable. Yeah. And I actually took part in two different graduation ceremonies as a result because, you know, my minor and the such, it's hard not, you can't do it all in the same place. It's not possible. Yeah. When folks graduate, is there any advice you give them, or is there anything you kind of send them off with, or is that more reserved for the folks that are maybe a little closer under your tutelage?
Oh, man, tutelage.
College words.
Yeah. That's well done. Well done, you. That's the other bit you get from the radio here. You get a little bit of education. I guess the biggest thing is that what I often say, I'm thinking of some of the students that I interacted with this semester in my classes, that the things that I teach are a lot of the things that we talk about, right? Small group communication, how do you kind of think about dynamics of interactions with different people in kind of localized settings and things of that sort. And I say it, you know, my hope is that through this content that you've been introduced to and you thought about and you've experienced and written about all these types of things, that when you show up in a workplace, when you are interacting with a group of people in a community, that some of these concerns might be like, oh, yeah, there's that happening, and figuring out how to mitigate or address it. I just, a couple of days ago, actually got an email from a student who graduated a few years ago who had written from I forget what country he was in, Southeast Asia, but saying, you know, basically what you've done and what I learned in your class has been playing out in the work that I'm doing now. And he just a couple of days ago wrote again and said, you know, I'm now working in a sheriff's office in Georgia, but I'm still seeing application of the things that we were talking about. And there's something really significant about that for me, that what we do, I think sometimes higher ed can get viewed in a certain way, maybe elitist or disconnected and things of that sort. And I see it as just being the opposite. I mean, everything we were talking about before, how do we have informed citizens? How do we have people who are educated and trained to play the roles that they do, right? Stepping into the responsible kind of positions that we were alluding to in the first segment. And so for me, that's what higher education is. So when I talk about kind of graduation or moving on beyond the university, the biggest thing I say is, you know, how do you take the knowledge and the experience you've had and put it to some good, right? There's the individual interest, but there's this larger kind of collective kind of communal interest too. And so how do you think about your training, your technical expertise in these kind of public regarding ways? And for me, that's, I think, a foundational thing. And we can think about that in all sorts of ways, in all different kinds of disciplines. You don't have to just be the social worker or the educator to care about these things. You can be the engineer. You can be, just about anything else. If you have this kind of disposition to say, how do I do kind of engage in this public life and shared work?
You bring up a good point, because a lot of times, I mean, even myself, I think you think about university education kind of in the abstract. It's like a lot of theory, a lot of theoretical stuff. But quite frankly, just by talking about some of the things the wide swath of students you've had across different fields, it is applicable in a lot of different ways. You even mentioned agriculture.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that one class that I was mentioning a moment ago, it's one that meets a requirement for graduation. So I end up having a lot of mostly seniors, right? From this semester, I had engineering students, I had turf management students, I had communication studies students, I had a business student, I had psychology students. I mean, it's interesting, the whole, not everybody, but right, a pretty representative kind of cross-section of the University of K-State. And to me, that's really important, because these are folks who are not necessarily interacting with one another a whole lot, right, because they've already kind of gone down their paths and are focusing in their particular ways. But the information and the application of that in the context of how groups of people communicate and engage with one another is applicable whether you're working in a feedlot, which is one of the students, they just got a job during the semester to go work out in Southwest Kansas in a feedlot as kind of a manager, all the way to the person who's going into a master's of social work program, right, who is finding application in these kinds of ideas and concepts. And so for me, that's it really a wonderful opportunity that we can have some cross sections of society, right? Different backgrounds and interests, maybe ideologies and philosophies of how they see the world, actually being in conversation with one another. I think that's one of the big, not just in higher ed, but more broadly, like one of the big losses that we have is that we just don't engage across some of those lines of difference, right? We stay in the relatively safe and kind of homogenous communities that we're familiar with and comfortable with. We've probably self-selected to be part of, frankly. And so when you are confronting or engaging people in those kinds of spaces, I think that's really, that's preparation for civic life, right? That's what it takes. You need to be able to interact and talk about things that are of importance with people who hold probably wildly different views than you and still figure something out.
So. And this kind of lends itself, at least tangentially, to the discussion about kind of what research is, as this sort of broad, there's a lot of broad different applications sort of in that sort of move through communications. But how does research play out and how does it touch a lot of these different fields?
Well, I guess I'll just speak to some of what I do. But, I've committed as a scholar to do work that I think is applicable and useful, not just in some kind of technical way, but getting at some of the, I think, kind of fundamental questions of how do we wrestle with competing values and views and interests. You know, how do we think about politics in that small p kind of way is usually how I operate, even though on here I feel like sometimes I talk more about kind of big P politics. And that's, for me, being able to engage in research is how we come to have a better perspective and insight on the issues that we're, you know, purportedly talking about and are informed about, as well as being able to have that inform and shape how we teach, right? So one of the biggest kind of misunderstandings of, say, a university professor is that nobody tells me, like, I have to use, well, some people would in certain departments or places would tell you, you have to use this book, you have to teach it this way, you have to do this kind of thing. I don't, right? I have a great deal of latitude and freedom because I have expertise in the things that I teach and research. And so I'm able to bring in kind of the newest information, kind of cutting edge stuff, putting that into conversation with established knowledge, those kinds of things. And for students to be able to wrestle with that in those ways, it's not like there's a textbook that we use, right, which is jarring to some folks because they're accustomed to education being a certain type of thing. And for me, that's where it's really helpful, the fact that I do the research that I do, because it informs how I actually teach and show up in a classroom. I'm not just kind of disseminating information to them, but we're kind of engaging it collectively.
And we do have a caller on the line. We're going to take this and head off to our break. Okay. Caller, go ahead. You're on In Focus. Hello, caller.
Yes.
Hi, you're on In Focus.
Thank you for taking time to talk to us, raise your voice to talk us down off the ceiling or widen our horizons about these kinds of matters that we have absolutely no control over but great concern for. Thank you so much for your efforts. We appreciate you every time you come on.
Yeah, I appreciate it. No, I think this is a good opportunity. Just going back to the point about what higher education is, disclaimer, I don't have to do this. I'm very glad that I get to, right? There's no real reward, right? The university sees there's some benefit to this kind of thing, but when it comes down to like promotion and tenure and the things that kind of matter in the academy, this is the kind of work that's not as valued as much as I think it should be. And part of the way that I see myself, and I think how a lot of others do too, increasingly younger generations of scholars say, how do we do our work as academics, as scholars, as researchers, as teachers with these kind of public purposes as an aspiration and as a goal? And so I appreciate the caller making that comment and the opportunity to be in conversation with you here in the studio as well as with the listeners, because it strikes me that this is part of where we need to do a better job of communicating why are we investing in something like public higher education.
And we're going to head off to our next break. We'll be back shortly here on In Focus News Radio, KMAN.
The KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by M&S Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. M&S takes care of residential and commercial customers, and they provide prompt quality service to Manhattan and the surrounding area.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your